RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo welcomes the Fed's decision raising interest rate. Indonesian Foreign Affairs and Defense Minister hold a 2+2 meeting in Tokyo. OJK affirms ASEAN cross-border offering too soon. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo positively welcomed the U.S. Federal Reserve decision to raise interest rate by a quarter point to 0.25% to 0.5%, he said after opening a national conference at the Legislative Council at the Regency level in Jakarta on Tuesday, December 17, 2015. That the positive impact for Indonesia had been apparent. President Joko Widodo added that the raise in the Fed's interest rate helped cause rupiah to strengthen and the composite index price to climb. Earlier, the U.S. Federal Reserve finally raised its interest rate for the first time in nearly a decade. The Fed's policymakers increased the interest rate on Wednesday local time. The Fed explained that the increase in the interest rate was a starting point for them to gradually implement tightening cycles. In addition, the Fed also decided to implement a payment when monitoring inflation rate. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of Defense Ria Misar Riachudu for the first time held a meeting plus-to-plus with the Minister of Foreign Affairs and Minister of Defense of Japan in Tokyo on Tuesday, December 17, 2015, to discuss various issues as a follow-up to a bilateral meeting between Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Director for East Asia and the Pacific of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Edi Yusuf, at a press conference at the Foreign Affairs Ministry office in Jakarta said, the Japan is a strategic partner for Indonesia, especially in the field of trade and investment. So the 2+2 meeting is considered important by Indonesia.
Pertemuan yang pertama kali dan ini mandat dari leaders. Jadi saya kira juga pertemuan ini.
This is the first meeting and this is mandate for the leaders. So I think this meeting also reflects that Japan for us is very strategic partner. And I say strategy, so the cooperation covers all aspects of strategy partnership cooperation. The foreign headlines 2+2 as a meeting between foreign minister and defense minister of the two countries. Because this is the first time, so the agenda of the meeting is also flexible. But I think also at this meeting, the Minister of Foreign Affairs wants to re-emphasize the importance of trade and investment with Japan. Furthermore, Edi Yusuf said the Minister of Foreign Affairs and Minister of Defense of Indonesia will review the concrete steps with the foreign minister and defense minister of Japan of the Indonesian-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement negotiation, which was delayed. According to Edi Yusuf, in the people-to-people contact issue, the Indonesian government will encourage the Japanese government to impose a visa exemption for diplomatic passport and official passport holders, as well as the ordinary passport holder for the short visit that has been agreed by the two countries. Meanwhile, in the military field, the issues on a global partnership for UN reformed anti-terrorism and the strengthening of cooperation in the strategy defense industry field will be an important subject discussion between Indonesian and Japanese Minister of Defense. Indonesian Financial Service Authority OJK said it is too soon for Indonesia to implement cross-border offering policy in the ASEAN region. head of the OJK's capital market supervision, to a department, Fakhri Hilmi said that this policy should be implemented in stages. Different countries have different mechanisms for listing, so there needs to be effort to harmonize and uniform the methods. Cross-border offering between ASEAN members is an initiative to help prepare Indonesia for the ASEAN capital market integration, which is part of ASEAN Economic Community Movement, scheduled to launch in December 2015. With a cross-border offering, a company can hold initial public offering IPO simultaneously in two countries or more. So far, Singapore, Malaysia and Thailand had signed a memorandum of understanding for the implementation of a cross-border offering. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Chairman of the Papua Regional Executive Board of Hanura Party, Yant Madenas, calls on regional political leaders to unite in seeking a share in PT Freeport Indonesia for the people of Papua and regional administration. PT Freeport Indonesia, subsidiary of the U.S. mining giant Freeport McMoRan Copper and Gold, has large copper and gold mines in Papua. According to Madenas, local politicians should think for long-term interests of the people and educate the people to be able to manage and develop abundant natural resources of Papua. He also said the politicians should help the Papuan customary community in seeking compensation for their land used by Freeport. He further said he agreed with the extension of a contract report by the central government, regional administration, and customary community should have a say. Due to intensifying volcanic activity nearby, Malang's Abdul Rahman Saleh Airport was forced on Wednesday morning to shut down again for an indefinite period of time, as clouds from Mount Bromo, located some 50 km east of Malang, helped obscure visibility, making flight maneuvers in the region too dangerous. The airport had been closed last Friday for a full 24 hours, but could reopen next day. The iconic 2,329-meter volcano, one of the country's key tourism destinations, last had a major eruption in January 2011 when thick clouds of volcanic ash. Indonesia has seen heightened volcanic activity in recent months, with the latest eruption in Mount Rinjani on the west Nusa Tenggara's Lombok Island also forcing several airports to shut down operation for several weeks. Rupiah exchange rate in Jakarta on Tuesday went up by 30 points to begin trading at 14,040 rupiah per US dollar, up from its previous position around 40,070 rupiah per US dollar. The head of research for NH Corindo Securities Indonesia, Reza Priyambada, said in Jakarta that the Federal Open Market Commission (FOMC) decision to raise the US federal fund rate has diminished the uncertainty in the market, which positively impacts the rupiah. Reza also said rupiah is appreciating. It turns out the Fed's decision to raise its fund rate did not cause any significant volatility, and investors are using this momentum to accumulate riskier, higher paying shares. Reza further said that the rupiah might still continue to appreciate as domestic economic circumstances are conducive for the upstream to continue. Indonesian Foreign Minister will intensify economic diplomacy to ensure food security at bilateral international levels. In 100 expert meeting to encourage food export, which was held on Wednesday, December 16, 2015 in Jakarta, Indonesian Deputy Foreign Minister Ayant Fasir said that food security is a crucial issue for Indonesia and the international world. He estimated the world needs about 50% more food by 2030. In line with the global growth, which reaches 8 billion people, the Minister of Foreign Affairs encourages international cooperation in the field of food security.
Dalam 4 tahun ke depan, Kementerian Luar Negeri akan melanjutkan upaya.
In 4 years ahead, the Minister of Foreign Affairs will continue his efforts to establish cooperation to ensure food security, both at the bilateral, regional, and international level, namely cooperation for technology transfer and joint research to improve the productivity of agriculture commodities, promotion of investment opportunities in rural areas to encourage development infrastructure, industrialization and mechanization of agriculture, assist the farmers to gain access to capital resources, encouraging inclusion of the category of development project in the list of efforts for development, and maximize Indonesian involvement in international bodies that deal with agriculture and food, FAO, OIE, and IFA. Ayn Fachir explained the Minister of Foreign Affairs has been doing many initiatives to improve food security. These initiatives include Indonesia as a coordinator of G33, which is actively promoting the issue of food security, rural development, and job security at the World Trade Organization, WTO, to protect small farmers from the negative impact of influx of cheap agriculture import products. In the 39th Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, conference in June 2015 in Italy, Indonesia received the award in significantly reducing the number of people who suffer from hunger and malnutrition. The last item, on Friday, December 11, 2015, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Saudi Arabia, Adel bin Ahmed Al Jubeir, has contacted the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, to discuss the establishment plan of center to coordinate against extremism and terrorism of Islamic countries in the Middle East, Africa, and Asia. Responding to it, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, emphasized that Indonesian government welcomes any efforts made by each country in the region to combat extremism and terrorism. So that the Minister of Foreign Affairs asking the term of reference, TOR, and modalities in order to learn more about the plan. But until Tuesday, December 15, 2015, when the Saudi government launched military alliance that was different from the establishment plan of center to coordinate against extremism and terrorism, Minister of Foreign Affairs does not accept the TOR and modalities. Thus, the spokesperson of Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, to Area World Service in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that the Indonesian government was surprised because what was delivered by the Saudi Arabian government before was different from the facts. We were a little surprised because what was delivered to us is about the establishment of a center to coordinate against extremism and terrorism, not a military alliance such as that delivered by the government of Saudi Arabia yesterday. Therefore, it becomes very important for Indonesia to find out the exact from the TOR and modalities before we could determine our position to Saudi Arabian plan. Armanata Kristiawan Nasir said that the Indonesian government does not feel cheated by the government of Saudi Arabia related to the establishment plan of center to coordinate against extremism and terrorism that was different from the facts because Indonesian government has not been able to ascertain whether the alliance military, which was launched on Tuesday, December 15, 2015, is different or same with the center of coordinate against extremism and terrorism. So that Armanata Kristiawan Nasir explained that the Indonesian government is still waiting for the OR and modalities that had been requested by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, to the Saudi government last week. Previously, the government of Saudi Arabia, in a press conference held by representatives of the countries and Defense Minister of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, said the purpose of alliance military campaign that conducted by 34 Islamic countries is to coordinate the fight against terrorism in Iraq, Syria, Libya, Egypt, and Afghanistan. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, our commentary today entitled, Can Indonesian language become an official language of ASEAN? Indonesia and 9 other ASEAN member countries will soon implement ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. This policy will bring about impacts on the economic, social, and cultural aspect of each ASEAN member country. Indonesia is a big country with the largest population in Southeast Asia. Its position in ASEAN becomes very important. Indonesian language has the most number of speakers in ASEAN, namely more than 250 million people. Malay, which became the embryo of Indonesian language, has been used in many countries in ASEAN region. In fact, the Malay language has been recorded as the national language in 4 countries, namely Indonesia, Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, and Singapore. Meanwhile, in some other countries such as Thailand, Myanmar, Laos, Cambodia, and the Philippines, the Malay language becomes the second and the third language. Based on these facts, it is reasonable if this course comes up to make Indonesian language as the official language of ASEAN. But in reality, at this moment, it seems that Indonesian language cannot compete, and it is under threat to be displaced by English in the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. This is due to most Indonesian speakers that do appreciate foreign language than their own language. Domination of foreign languages has gradually shifted the Indonesian position in the hearts of its people. In addition, for Indonesian people, there is a tendency to teach English for their children at the early age compared with Indonesian, by the aim to be better prepared to face globalization era. As a result, some of them use English as their everyday language. If they overload the Indonesian language as the mother tongue, possibly in 10 to 20 years to come, Indonesian language will be forgotten and it will become a second language. Therefore, love in Indonesian language needs to be nurtured and maintained. One way is to use Indonesian correctly and properly. The opportunity of Indonesian language to be the main language of ASEAN is actually very possible. Serious efforts need support from the native speakers of Indonesian language. Thus, the Indonesian nation should be proud to use Indonesian language. It is hoped that Indonesian language as the main language in ASEAN can come true. Listener, that was commentary today presented by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on December 17, 1903, when the Wright brothers developed flying machine. The Wright brothers, Orville, born on August 19, 1871, and died on January 30, 1948, and Wilbur, born on April 16, 1867, and died on May 30, 1912, were two American brothers, investors, and aviation pioneers who are credited with inventing and building the world's first successful airplane and making the first controlled, powered, and sustained heavier-than-air human flight on December 17, 1903. From 1905 to 1907, the brothers developed their flying machine into the first practical fixed-wing aircraft. Although not the first to build and fly experimental aircraft, the Wright brothers were the first to invent aircraft controls that made fixed-wing-powered flight possible. And the next event was in 1989, when the Romanian Revolution occurred. The Romanian Revolution was a period of violent civil unrest in Romania in December 1989 and part of the revolutions of 1989 that occurred in several countries. The Romanian Revolution started in the city of Timișoara and soon spread throughout the country, ultimately culminating in the sure trial and execution of longtime communist leader Nicolae Ceausescu and the end of 42 years of communist rule in Romania. It was also the last removal of a communist regime in a Warsaw Pact country, during the events of 1989 and the only one that violently overthrew a country's government and executed its leader. And the last event was in 1996 when 14 members of the Tupac Amaru Revolutionary Movement, or MRTA, took hostage hundreds of high-level diplomats, government and military officials, and business executives. The Japanese embassy hostage crisis began on December 17, 1996 in Lima, Peru, when 14 members of the Tupac Amaru Revolutionary Movement took hostage hundreds of high-level diplomats, government and military officials, and business executives who were attending a party at the official residence of the Japanese ambassador to Peru, Morihisa Aoki, in celebration of Emperor Akihito's 63rd birthday. Although strictly speaking, the crisis took place at the ambassadorial residence in the upscale district in San Isidro rather than at the embassy proper. The media and others referred to it as the Japanese embassy hostage crisis, and that is how it is conventionally known. Most of the hostages were soon released. After being held hostage for 126 days, the remaining dignitaries were freed on April 22, 1997 in a raid by Peruvian Armed Forces commandos, during which one hostage, two commandos, and all the MRTA militants were killed. The operation was perceived by most Peruvians to be a great success, and it gained worldwide media attention. President Alberto Fujimori initially received much credit for saving the lives of the hostages. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with today's focus entitled ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, gives benefits for European Community. So stay tuned. Listener, ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, which implementation will take effect at the beginning of January 2016, is considered to benefit European society. The AEC will be a promising market for the countries in the Blue Continent like Poland. It was stated by Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Resources of the Republic of Indonesia, Rizal Ramli, in the ASEAN Committee Seminar held in Warsaw, or the Warsaw ASEAN Committee, or the ASEAN Committee Warsaw, ACW. Poland, together with the Polish Ministry of Development, the Polish Chamber of Commerce recently. The seminar held at the Think Tank Center and the Center for International Relations successfully attracted the attention of at least 400 participants, consisting of business people, academics, politicians, officials, and the Polish media and diplomatic circles in Warsaw. According to Ramli, the decrease in trade tariffs among ASEAN countries will make the Southeast Asian region is becoming increasingly competitive compared to other areas. Meanwhile, Polish Deputy Prime Minister, who is also the Minister of Development, Mateusz Morawiecki, conveyed that cooperation with ASEAN will be one of the priorities of the current Polish government. According to Mateusz, Poland will be the liaison trade between ASEAN and other countries in Central Europe. On the other hand, the Indonesian ambassador to Poland, Peter Franz Gonta, who is also the chairman of the ACW, said ASEAN, with a population of over 600 million inhabitants and economic power, can provide the advantage of cooperation with Poland, especially in the economic sector. Director General of Economic Diplomacy, America, Asia and Europe, of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Poland, Katarzyna Kacperczyk, stated that the need for cooperation between Poland and ASEAN at the highest level. Meanwhile, to prepare the ASEAN Economic Community, Indonesian government through the Ministry of Tourism has compiled a wide range of human resources development strategies in domestic tourism. Steps are taken to face the competition of human resources in the tourism sector in the era of the ASEAN Economic Community and global competition. Deputy Head of Institutional Development of Tourism Ministry of Tourism, Muhammad Ahmad Shah, said it has to develop human resources in the tourism sector through formal and non-formal channels. In formal education, human resource development through formal education, up to now, the Ministry of Tourism has provided four higher education institutions of tourism, namely the Institute of Tourism, STP Bandung, STP Nusa Dua Bali, Makassar State Tourism and Polytechnic, and Medan Tourism Academy. Even in 2016, the Ministry of Tourism will add two tourism colleges in Palembang and Lombok. Thus, in total, there will be six colleges of tourism in some areas in the country. While in terms of non-formal education, the Ministry of Tourism has established cooperation with the relevant agencies in Human Resources Certification Program of ASEAN Tourism Standards. Until now, approximately 150,000 human resources have been certified, and is targeted by 2019, there will be 550,000 certified human resources with ASEAN standard. On the other hand, Agricultural Quarantine Agency of the Ministry of Agriculture is building Prima Quarantine KDP Export and Priority Service Systems to improve the competitiveness of Indonesian agricultural products in facing the ASEAN Economic Community AEC. Prima Quarantine Service System KDP is built in an effort to increase the acceleration of exports of Indonesian agricultural products to global market. The Prime Service is an attempt of Agriculture Quarantine Agency of the Ministry of Agriculture to build export Prima Quarantine Service and Service Priority Systems in reducing the dwelling time, which is expected to minimize the cost of logistics at the port. And listener, that was Focus.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers today on December 17, 2015. We start from Kompas in its headline, writes about the victory of people's voices. The decision of Setia Novanto to resign from his position as Speaker of the House of Representatives, DPR, is a victory of the people who won the parliament with morality and integrity. The events also serve as a warning for all representatives to not ignore the mandate of the people. The letter of resignation was read by Vice Chairman of the House of Representatives Ethics Council, Sufmi Dasko Ahmad, on Wednesday night. Dasko mentioned he received the letter directly from Novanto. Media Indonesia in its headline writes about the legal process of Novanto still going forward. Although Setia Novanto has resigned as Speaker of the House, the Attorney General will continue the legal process related to the alleged profiteering the name of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala. The Attorney General will get easier to investigate a case of Papa as talks that involving Novanto. With Novanto's resignation as Speaker of the House, he no longer has the capacity as the state official. Clergy Romo Beni Susatyo support measures of the Attorney General to continue processing Novanto's case. With the resignation of Novanto, he said, the legal process at the Attorney General office has practically no longer barriers. Similar view from a political observer from the Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS, Phillips Vermonte, said, the Attorney General can easily continue the legal process toward the case after the resignation of Novanto from his post. And we conclude that today's headline with Tempo newspaper. The Daily writes about the attorney continue to investigate Novanto. The Attorney General Muhammad Prasetyo said the result of trial of the House Ethics Council that stated Setia Novanto proved to have violated ethics to strengthen the investigation of conspiracy of Freeport contract extension. From 17 members council, 10 of them were declared Setia Novanto is proven guilty with punishment of middle category and heavy. Before the sanction is given to him, Novanto resigned from the House Speaker seat. The Golkar politician became the first House Speaker who fell down due to ethical violation. Listener, that was today's headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo positively welcomed the U.S. Federal Reserve decision to raise interest rate by quarter point to 0.25 to 0.5%. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of Defense Ria Misariatudu for the first time held a meeting 2+2 with the Minister of Foreign Affairs and Minister of Defense of Japan in Tokyo on Tuesday. Indonesian Financial Service Authority OJK said it is too soon for Indonesia to implement cross-border offering policy in the ASEAN region. Chairman of the Papua Regional Executive Board of Hanura Party, Yant Mantenas, calls on regional political leaders to unite in seeking a share in PT Freeport Indonesia for the people of Papua and regional administration. Due to intensifying volcanic activity nearby, Malang's Abdul Rahman Saleh Airport was forced on Wednesday morning to shut down again for an indefinite period of time. Rupiah's interbank exchange rate in Jakarta on Tuesday went up by 30 points to begin trading at 40,040 rupiah per US dollar, up from its previous position around 40,070 rupiah per US dollar. Indonesian Foreign Minister will intensify economic diplomacy to ensure food security at bilateral and international level. In 100 expert meeting to encourage food export, which was held on Wednesday, December 16, 2015 in Jakarta, Indonesian Deputy Foreign Minister Ayant Fasir said that food security is a crucial issue for Indonesia and international world. On Friday, December 11, 2015, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Saudi Arabia, Adel bin Ahmed Al Jubeir, has contacted the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, to discuss the establishment plan of center to coordinate against extremism and terrorism of Islam countries in the Middle East, Africa, and Asia. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to a culinary tour to the Demak Regency in Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Demak is one of regencies in Central Java Province. In the region, they had once founded the first Islamic kingdom in Java called Demak Kingdom. The kingdom was established by Prince Fatah in the year 1500 to 1550. As the first Islamic kingdom in Java, Demak played a huge role in the process of Islamization of the time. Demak Kingdom then was developed as a trade center and a center of spreading of Islam. The kingdom then started to collapse in mid-16th century due to the uprising. Although the Kingdom of Demak now become a distant memory, the remnants of its legacy can still be enjoyed until now, such as Demak Grand Mosque, which was built in 1479, and Kropokan rice, a typical food from Demak. Kropokan rice is a favorite menu of King of Demak. The food is made of ribs of buffalo meat and white pumpkin. Kropokan rice seasoning consisting of onion, garlic, turmeric, nutmeg, coriander, cumin, lime leaves and bay leaves and galangal. Then there are also salt, sugar, coconut and kedondong leaves. Initially, buffalo ribs boiled until tender. When boiling, all spices that have been smoothed include to the meat. Then a white pumpkin, kedondong leaves, whole chili, and coconut milk are added. Once cooked, the kropokan rice menu ready to be enjoyed. The yellow coconut sauce food even more delicious when eaten in a hot with white rice. You will taste the delicious ribs with vegetables, and you need not worry about the threat of cholesterol, because the foods also include white pumpkin vegetables as neutralizing cholesterol. In addition to use herb spices, kropokan rice will be more delicious with the inclusion of some kedondong leaves. Not only cause a sour taste, kedondong leaves also believed to undermine the cholesterol from meat and milk. For those who love spicy food, you can determine the spiciness because it is used lox chili. Listener enjoying delicacies of the king's menu will be more perfectly when accompanied by wedang pekak. The red spice drink is made of a sechang wood, roasted ginger, lemongrass and lawang flower or more growing in Demak. The drinks which is believed to increase the vitality of the men will be suitable served in warm and added with sugar. The price of kropokan rice is only 15,000 rupiah per portion and wedang pekak is 3,500 rupiah per glass. Kropokan rice can be found in the town of Demak, exactly in the food stalls at Jalan Sultan Hadiwijaya. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder about kropokan rice. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you in today's miscellany. Today's edition, we'll talk about to know the life in the foot of Mount Rinjani. Stay tuned. No one who are not familiar with the second highest volcano in Indonesia, namely Rinjani. For the climbers in Indonesia, Mount Rinjani is one volcano that must be climbed. Not only the sunrise is over, the peak of Rinjani also have interesting objects such as child of Mount Barujari, waterfalls, caves and lake. A very complete package for hikers and scenery that cannot be exchanged with anything on the earth makes Rinjani bears the nickname as Mother of Mountains. These advantages are not only earned the tourism sector, the people around the foot of Mount Rinjani also feel the blessing. As communities who live on the foot of Mount Rinjani, farming is the daily livelihood of people in the region. The head of tourism office of West Nusa Tenggara, Lalu Muhammad Fauzi, said the area of foot of Mount Rinjani is the fertile area around Mount Rinjani. At the foot of Mount Rinjani, there are many fertile areas, for example, Sembalun. In the region, there are 8 villages which have potential for the development of agro. The region produces melon, garlic, strawberry, potato, and apple. And the area is very much enjoyed the fertility of Mount Rinjani. In addition, there are 17 points waterfalls flowed from Mount Rinjani that have uniqueness, and all of them come from Rinjani. Communities on the foot of Mount Rinjani not only depend on agricultural land as their livelihood, but they also use tourism potential and natural beauty of Mount Rinjani that is able to invite curiosity of climbers from foreign countries to become tour guide and porter. In November 2015, Mount Barujari, child of Mount Rinjani, spewed thick smoke to 3.5 meters. It caused harm the flight in West Nusa Tenggara. This is due to the closing of Lombok International Airport for more than 12 days. It was widely influenced to the people who have daily livelihood as porter and tour guide. The existence of Mount Rinjani actually very important for the sustainability of life of people surrounding the mountain. People awareness to keep Mount Rinjani is higher. They are aware that Rinjani is able to give better life for them. Listener, that was information about seeing the life in the foot of Mount Rinjani. Thank you for your attention and see you on next edition of Miscellany. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to music group, namely Ferority Band. Listener, let's listen to a song entitled Cinta Tak Direstui by Ferority Band. Happy listening.
Sayang, mungkin ini jalan yang terbaik untukku dan dirimu. Cinta memang tak selalu selamanya memiliki, dan harus kau tahu, tanpa restunya cinta kita tak akan bahagia. Haruskah aku lepaskan dirimu demi keinginan orang tuamu yang tak merestui kita berdua? Sia-sia semuanya.
Tak ada lagi yang harus kuungkap. Semua ini tak menjadi kenangan, suka dan duka kita lalui penuh cinta, penuh sayang.
Hilang sudah harapanku menjadi cinta yang aku impikan.
Was formed in the late 2012, which now consists of Noval guitarist and vocalist, Lista vocalist, Dani guitarist, Raffi drummer, and Wawan the bassist. It was initiated by Dani guitarist when he tried to compose a song to Lista. Then they need to form a band, namely Ferocity. The personnel of the band are the students come from the same school. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Masih Mencintaimu. Happy listening.
Biarkan hati ini kan menyatu.
During the band's music career, Lisda decided to resign, and now the band consists of four personnel. Then Nova looking for a new lead singer named Devi, who replaced Lisda's position. The name Ferority itself defines goodness or peace. Ferority band brought the alternative pop songs genre, present a meaningful reality songs. Well, listeners, to conclude our program for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last song entitled Kisah Kita by Ferority Band. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Bahagiakah kau hidup denganku, hanya sekedar cinta yang ku punya.
Janganlah kau berkata begitu, ku terima kau apa adanya. Takkan mungkin suatu fitnah yang sanggup memisah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.